Ultimately, we see that when we do Facebook ads, it does help grow our audio consumption. Like, the majority of people do actually come over, and if they are long-term subscribers, the audio will be the platform they definitely lean into. And that's what we've seen across the board.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? It's your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another episode of The Fighting Entrepreneur, and a very selfish episode. I'm excited about this one because, you know, now it's been a little over a year that I've been running this podcast, The Fighting Entrepreneur, and for those of you who've been listening this whole time, thank you very much. Love you guys, and we've been doing great. Look, we're, you know, I don't know, I think just in US iTunes, close to 700 reviews, and it's over 1,000 if you look at internationally. I think we've crossed probably 600,000-700,000 downloads. If you look at YouTube, it's gone crazy over there as well. So generally speaking, we're doing good. But I ain't satisfied with that. I want more. And so one of the biggest pain points, one of the biggest, most annoying things in my life is that when you Google it, how to grow a podcast, how to growth hack a podcast, how to use paid ads for a podcast, you either get nothing or you get the most benign, useless, generic information. So I have been trying to figure out this answer. So today we're going to talk about how to growth hack a podcast, but very specifically, we're going to talk about how to use paid ads to growth hack a podcast. We have an amazing guest. I'm going to tell you about him in just a minute. But before I do that, are you a member of Learn Nation or what? Come on. It takes like 20 seconds. It's absolutely free. Head over to LURN.com. We have over 360,000 members. We're going to climb to 10 million. So you can either be a part of this massive revolution or you can just sit by and watch it pass you right by. Look, we are going to put 10 million entrepreneurs in one place, and we're going to work together. We're going to create a community of 10 million around the world, all over the world. They're going to help each other. Guess what? Change the world, because we know our governments aren't going to do it. All right, us entrepreneurs, we're going to have to solve all the problems. So come together. That's my vision. That's my mission. My goal here is to build an army of entrepreneurs. I want you to be a part of it. Let's all work together. All right. And then, of course, please go to Anik Podcast, ANIKpodcast.com. Make sure to leave a review for us over at iTunes. Subscribe to us over at YouTube. And of course, binge watch all or binge listen to all of our past episodes. All right. So today, how to use paid ads to growth hack a podcast, or really fundamentally, how to growth hack a podcast. We have a guest with us today from Valor Media. His name is Charlie Valor, and he's up very, very early right now in Australia to do this for us. So we're very, very, very honored, and it's our pleasure to have him. I want to tell you how I connected with him. So in my massive frustration a few months ago, I posted on Facebook. This is one of my favorite places to ever go for solutions to pretty much anything in my life. I posted to my Facebook wall that I was looking for someone who could talk about paid ads for growing a podcast. It had been so many months. The only thing I could come up with was, okay, fine, I'll run Facebook ads to get opt-ins. But I kept thinking to myself, that's just very expensive, right? I'm going to pay $5, $6 an opt-in for someone just to listen to my podcast when I know so many people will probably never open another email. And like, do I really want to spend that? Is that worth it? Is there a better way? So I wasn't convinced. So I never really tried it. And a bunch of people were leaving their feedback, a lot of whom said, don't use paid ads. You can't use paid ads, or blah, blah, blah. Anyways, until I got a message from Charlie. And I think he used proof, right? Numbers never lie. So he put a little thing and I've done X, Y, Z. And I was like, whoa, I'm kind of curious. So all I did is I messaged Charlie and I said, Charlie, could you tell me a little bit more about what your strategy is? And Charlie went one step, two steps, five steps further than that. This is the first time anyone has ever done this for me. And it was really just amazing. And I really appreciated it. He actually filmed an entire video for me, where he showed me a screen capture video of the exact strategy broken down in like 7 minutes, all right? First of all, it was my fault. It took me like days, if not weeks, to even go watch it. And then when I finally did, I smacked myself in the forehead and said, man, I wish I watched this earlier. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And it was just a few minutes. And so since then, I've been aching to get back into the interview mode so I can get Charlie on. He's one of the first people that is back that I interviewed or contacted to interview when we were back into interview season here at The Finding Entrepreneur. And one of the things that is most amazing about him is that he, between him and his clients, is responsible for over 5 million downloads of podcasts. So there is a man who knows how to grow a podcast. He is the founder and CEO of Valor Media. And so their business is to produce and to grow podcasts. And so we couldn't have anyone better here today to come present and talk to us about this. So Charlie, man, thanks so much for being here. I really appreciate you. I'm excited to learn from you, my friend.
Excited to be here, and what a warm intro. Thank you so much, Anik.
Yeah, you got it. You know, there was a joke going on recently, and I fessed up very openly, and I was like, why do you do this podcast, and how is it that I've been able to stay so committed to it? We're like at 160-plus episodes now. I haven't stayed this consistent with anything in my life when it comes to, like, content or blogging or anything. Like, I just don't. I get to, like, four, and I'm done. And I've actually fallen in love with this podcast. I joke with people, say it's like my child. So if you ever want to make me feel good or you want to suck up to me, just like compliment my podcast. It's the easiest way to get me all buttered up. And so, but the reason that it is so good is because I use it, or the reason I like it so much is because I use it as time for me to get consultation. So today, guys, we're going to do it different. Usually we do rounds. We're not going to do rounds today. Today we're going to have you be a fly on the wall. So Charlie is going to flat out answer questions for me about how to growth hack the Fighting Entrepreneur podcast. I'm ready to put paid ads on the table. I'm going to come to this with a budget, starting budget of about $10,000 a month. Now, of course, the strategy that we go over, you can manipulate. If your budget is $1,000 a month or $500 a month, you could change the numbers as is. And my intention is to go from $10,000 a month to $100,000 a month. I don't care. I need this podcast in the hands of every entrepreneur in the world, and that's my goal. And we're going to talk about, in the process, organic strategies as well. So, Charlie, I'm excited. Thank you so much, my friend. I want to know a little bit more about you. Like, tell everyone how you got into this, how you got into the podcast world. And, you know, we were talking about this before we started filming, but, like, what made you finally go try to figure out paid ads? Because there's just no information about it on the internet at all. No one's using paid ads for podcasts.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. You hit on some points that I think are so true. Podcasting seems to be one of the last kind of areas of internet marketing that seems kind of caught in the stone ages or the wild, wild west. It's like, if you want to learn pretty much any other form, so whether it's YouTube, you want to learn Facebook ads, like, there's so many courses and great resources where, like, growing a podcast or using paid ads for podcasting, you just get really, I'm going to say, outdated or generic advice. Like, if you search for how to grow a podcast on Google right now, you'll probably get something like post on social media. Yeah. And so, really, I didn't think of that. So I found that really interesting that the information seemed poor. And of course, that's been a really big advantage for our business, is because we've really focused in this area. As for, like, how I got into podcasting, I'm a long time podcast addict. I love podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I distinctly remember this moment. I was feeling a bit frustrated in business. We were doing a lot of ads. We were doing a lot of funnels, and I'd really noticed, like, the costs of traffic had gone up. I realized how much we were spending to get opt-ins and getting offers to convert. And I was just getting frustrated. I was like, this seems to be getting less and less effective. Like, why, you know, once upon a time, and I'm sure you remember these days, it was like, you know, 2 cent clicks, 3 cent clicks. And I'm paying $3 now, $4. And I'm like, I don't like this trend of where it's going. And I don't like doing what everyone else is doing. And I remember thinking, I was like, when was the last time I bought from, like, a cold offer on Facebook ads? Like, what did I buy? And I was like, oh, I'm not. And I was like, when was the last time you bought from a Google ad? And I was like, haven't. And then I was sitting there and I'm like, you're still buying things though. Like, how are you making purchases? And then I looked around and I'm like, okay, well, the last books I bought, recommendations on podcasts. The last mastermind I joined, yeah, heard about that on a podcast. I realized that podcasting was having a huge influential effect on me, and, like, I wanted to be a part of it. And then what really, like, put the icing on the cake is I went on a podcast. Like, I managed to find a guest spot to go on and talk about what we were doing. And after that podcast, two people contacted me. And normally I was used to this big, long sales process, you know, having to convince someone. And it really felt like I was almost, like, at the checkout at McDonald's. It was like someone was just coming out and saying, yeah, I'll take a Big Mac. It was like the quickest, easiest sale ever. And I'm like, from that moment, I was like, this is it. This is what I want. Like, this is exactly where I want to go. And I'm like, we committed to the cause. So from that, introduced our own podcast, really enjoyed the results we were getting from it, made a huge impact on the business at the time. And then sure enough, people started asking me, it's like, can you help me with a podcast? Like, I'd want to do one too. And then before you know it, we started the agency kind of just through natural demand. And that was the birth of Valor Media. So that's how it kind of all came together. Now, in the background, I will say that, like, my history is digital marketing. Like, I am a paid ads guy. So for me, when I looked at the podcast scene, I couldn't really find anyone teaching the paid ad stuff. So I used my own knowledge and experience and just started experimenting. And the reason we started experimenting is that if someone come and worked with Valor Media, saying posted on Facebook or, you know, trying to grow a show. And excuse me here, sorry, it is a touch early. That's a bit of morning throat.
No problem.
But clients want to grow their shows. We wanted to grow our shows. I didn't accept that a long, slow and organic path was the only way to do it. So experimenting on my own dollar in my own shows and then working with clients to help them, we started going, look, there's definitely a viable method to grow podcasts with ads. And that's stuff we started playing with. Now, we'll say you can grow a show organically. You don't have to do ads. There are a lot of strategies to grow a podcast, but this is certainly one that I love because you tend to have more control over it. As you said, it's like you can spend $1,000 a month. You can spend 10 grand a month. Like it's got a really good scalable effect you can take with this.
No, that's awesome. And you know what, man, we don't need to like, dibble dabble around it. This episode is about, you gotta spend some money, okay? If you want to build a business, and everyone wants to do everything for free, and it's stupid. So it's not how business works. You gotta learn to think of it as an investment. So I came at this, that's why I started with my thing saying, I'm ready to invest $10,000 a month. That's my starting budget, right? And I understand my numbers will be different, but I'm ready to take this thing to $100,000, $200,000 a month. I'm at the place where I want, you know, I said this earlier, like years ago, I've been saying this, that I want someone, when they say the word entrepreneur, I want them to think learn. And that's like literally the level of association we want. And I know that the Fighting Entrepreneur will help that happen. So really, killer story, Charlie. What I love about your story, which I always also talk to entrepreneurs about, is the creation of a business through just organic demand, right? So it's not like one day you sat down and you're like, I'm going to start this agency and you made a business plan or whatever. You were just doing what you love out there talking about it, helping people, doing things. And then it just emerged into this business. And I find that businesses that come from organic demand seem to outlast businesses that have been concocted and put together through strategic planning. And so kudos to you for that. All right. So here's the deal. I have not, just so we set the record for everybody, because I wanted this to be a true fly on the wall experience. The only thing I've done is watched Charlie. He sent me a video. It was like 6-7 minutes showing me one strategy. I have not heard anything else. So Charlie, I'm just going to open-ended question for you and we'll kind of go down and pull the string. I want to grow my podcast. I have a few things at my disposal, right? Of course, I have a bit of a brand, thankfully. We do have devoted followers of the podcast, people that are listeners. Thank you, everybody. We have an email list that we do blast every now and then about the podcast, like the big list, my main list. We also have a separate subscription list for the podcast that people sign up at onicpodcast.com. That's about, I don't know, 10 or 12,000 people. And that's fine, and that's working, and it's going great. But I want to add some new rockets to this ship. Where should we start?
Great question. I actually did a little bit of research on your show, and I thought, you know, what would be really cool to make this valuable is if we could use some examples. Because yes. I really, when I listen to podcasts, like I want to know the real stuff. Like I don't want someone to give me broad theory. It's like, you know, if this was me, can you start talking about the specifics, which I think is really powerful. So I went through your show, it was actually yesterday, because it's quite early here, but I did a bit of a like research on like how I would play this. And then I will mention some things for people that probably don't have your assets, because I think you've got some advantages that, let's say, someone starting out definitely won't have.
Yes.
Okay. So the thing when I really thought about how can we take the most advantage of ads with podcasts, right? We're going to spend 10 grand ideally a month on this. Like, what are we thinking here? The biggest advantage you can give yourself if you want to use ads these days is having a video podcast. So this is whether it's you or whether you're starting out, if you want to take advantage of the medium, video ads is definitely where it's at. And the reason I say that is because all the social networks are hungry for video content, and it makes it much easier to create ads when you've got that advantage. There are some ad strategies you can do without it, but particularly I would say lean into that. That would be my number one. And you've already ticked that box heavily from there. Now, I will say, I'll just quickly cover if you don't have video, but you've got an existing audio podcast. Like one of my favorite ones is actually Google AdWords. So for the Fighting Entrepreneur, like I'd probably look at some keywords like best business podcast, best podcast for entrepreneurs. And I would actually have my show appearing up the top for that. And I'll tell you right now, those types of keywords are still really cheap. So you can actually use straight Google AdWords for that type of thing. And I would look at that as a little bit about how we could grow here. Now for you and Nick, I'd also probably use your name. I did a bit of keyword research and you appear in the keyword planner and you get quite a few searches for just people looking for you. So I would actually put an ad up saying, take them straight to the podcast. I wouldn't let Google control where we take traffic on Google. I would say, right, we're diving them into the podcast from there. So that's my little like start there.
I have a question on that. So let's pause right there. What landing page would I take them to? Do I take them to an opt-in for the podcast? Do I take them straight to iTunes? Do I take them to at onicpodcast.com, you have a straight, just all my episodes listed there. Do I take them to that?
So way I would kind of think about it, I would probably look in the look in your analytics, and then I would pick your most three popular episodes and I would take them to a page that said, these are the three most popular episodes, start here. And then that way, you know, they're starting on some really strong content and something that's likely to turn them into a bit more of a subscriber. But sometimes you'll release an episode and it's just not the right episode for that person. So if someone searched best business podcast and then the episode you just released, I'm just going to use an example, was on just YouTube and they're not into YouTube, they're going to be deterred. Where it's like, if you're giving that, these are the best ones and they're probably more aligned to that, you're going to have much more success.
You know, the other interesting challenge that this addresses, that the reason I was thinking of not doing it is sometimes I'll do episodes with guests that is like how he made $22,000 using this one strategy or whatever. It's not technically compliant for advertising, right? Like Facebook would have a complete shit fit over it. So I always wondered like, how would I take to Onic? I can't really take it to onicpodcast.com because at any moment that is not going to be compliant because what are the, however I title my episode. But I love what you just said is take your top five or top three or whatever, make sure those are compliant or write the copy, make a page that is specific for the ad network so it'll be compliant. And that is slick. So a list of keywords that I can bid on. Do you have any idea, like, because you said that, hey, these keywords are still pretty cheap. One of the preconceived notions out there about Google search keywords is that it is very expensive. What is cheap in your mind? Like, how much do you think I'd be paying per click roughly?
You'll be under a couple of dollars for that per click. And I think that's a very targeted click because they're actively searching for podcasts. So if someone's right, best business podcast, best entrepreneurial podcast, you know, and you could do that depending on where you want to go as well, like in the States, or if you go more broadly, it'll be cheaper. When you look at that, what I like a lot about that is the intent. So even if it is a couple of dollars, I'm fine with that. But if you do compare it to, like, you know, if you're looking for mortgage broker or finance options on Google AdWords, like, they can be insanely expensive. I don't think I could encourage anyone going for those keywords anymore.
So out of the $10,000 a month budget, about what percentage of that do you think you would tell me to put into the search keywords?
So that one's just like a little low hanging fruit one. Like, I would only put probably a couple of $100 a month there. It's just a nice little one that ticks away, but it will be consistent and there's constantly new traffic coming to it. But the idea, let's say it's $2 a click, you know, that could be 50 to 100 people a month just coming from that, that haven't been exposed to you on other networks.
Got it. Okay. Awesome. Love it.
All right. So let's go into the more meatier stuff though. That's just a little nice one. I wanted to start with that one because obviously you can do it if you have an audio show or a video show, but this is where we go into why I'm so heavy on video. So coming back to it is I looked at this and realized that pretty much if you're relying on the audio components or trying to rank in iTunes, that is a really hard way to grow a podcast. It's really, really difficult to climb the ranks in iTunes alone, and it's heavily competitive with so many audio podcasts. But when you do video, you really open up a lot of things that just aren't there for the average podcast. So in your show here, what I really like is that you've got the video format, you do full-length episodes that are recorded really well and they're nicely polished. I would actually be publishing those episodes on Facebook. Now, I'm a really big fan of publishing full-length episodes on Facebook. You can see you're writing that one down. Because it is absolutely, like, I was quite surprised when we started doing this. It was like a happy accident, was that we published some full episodes and it was quite interesting to see that people did watch full episodes on Facebook like they would on YouTube. And then what we started to do is use...
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I love about that is when you're publishing full-length video on Facebook, you can actually use the ads platform. So we started to really get behind the idea of running ads to the full length video on Facebook. And that has been really advantageous. It's a little bit unique. You don't see a lot of podcasts doing that, but that's what we kind of like. So when I look at your show here, it's like, you know, I look around at other big entrepreneurial shows, like whether it be Gary Vee or Digital Marketer Stuff, or even maybe Russell Brunson, like they're all available for targeting. Some of your audience would cross over with some of their audience. And I think that's a really good starting point of making sure that that's where the podcast is getting seen, because there's people that wouldn't be exposed to your YouTube presence.
So we do put it on Facebook, Stuart, right? So what we do is we stream it as a live onto Facebook, and then it's there as a video on Facebook afterwards. But we've never boosted it or done anything. And so I like this idea. I have a preconceived notion already, Charlie, and you're the first person to kind of counter that, because Facebook counts a view as 3 seconds. And so I have no idea why in my head I've always just felt like, they're not going to watch it. Like, it's a waste of money. But do you have any stats around that? Like, what percentage of people will complete? Because my episodes are about an hour long each.
Yeah. Just side note, that's got to be the worst stat ever. I don't even know where they track that. That 3 second view, like, that could be a misscroll.
Yeah, I know.
It's horrible. Like, I like YouTube's a lot better. But anyway, so that's kind of in my head. It's always been like, but I mean, do you have any stats? Like, you did mention that you were shocked by how many people watch a full episode or watch bulk of it on Facebook.
Yeah. So this is like, ignore the 3 second and 10 second view stuff. Like, it's garbage. Like, I think it's a false metric that they use to make people feel good. It's offers no value. Like, we'll just get rid of that. But what I do love about Facebook is if you are in your ads manager and you've run an ad, you can actually look at video engagement. It will tell you how many people have watched like 25%, 50%, 75%, and 100%. And this is what's really exciting to me, is that you can not only track that, you can actually build remarketing audiences on it. And if you are building audiences, let's say I've watched an average episode goes for 30 minutes, probably longer. And you can say, look, who's watched 50% of that video? That is a heavily engaged audience available for targeting. So I really, really like the idea of using Facebook and specifically looking to use Facebook ads to build up really strong video remarketing lists. And if you can start to cultivate a list of people who've watched more than 25% of an episode, I would actually say that's more valuable than an email address these days. Like, it's a very, very, I would rather pay a couple of dollars or less to get someone to watch more than 5 minutes of video than I would to have downloaded an opt-in, never consumed any content, probably never open another email. Like, engagement is really the depth of what we're looking to create. And it's one of the beautiful things about podcasting.
Yeah. So, okay. So let's say my episodes are about an hour long. Realistically, get a range. Of course, I know this is going to completely change based on topic, based on the person, but do you have an idea of what percentage of people? I mean, for me, even 25% would be huge. That's 15 minutes. That's a lot of me talking and then getting to know my face. Any idea like what percentage of people you would say would reach 25% watched on an hour long episode?
Yeah. So I'll go through some things to consider here, because you've got to remember a few things that I think are really important. When someone's on Facebook, they're likely not all here just to watch your hour video. So someone legitimately might watch 15 minutes because they have 15 minutes, but they might go, I really like this show. I'm actually going to subscribe to it. And like, that's the intent. Like, it's not the intent to say, we're trying to get people to sit here and watch an hour. We're trying to build people who are going to be long-term subscribers. Ultimately, we see that when we do Facebook ads, it does help grow our audio consumption. Like, the majority of people do actually come over, and if they are long-term subscribers, the audio will be the platform they definitely lean into. And that's what we've seen across the board. So how I would be judging it for you is like, if I could say the metric or the key metric I want to watch is like how many people are watching 25% or more, then I would be really happy with that. And if I was keeping that at under a couple of dollars, like routinely, I say, if you can get more than 5 minutes of consumption for under a couple of dollars, you're in good shape. You're in a good niche. Now, please keep in mind, if you're in a heavily, heavily like tiny niche, you are going to pay more than that. Like, let's say you have a podcast for surgeons, and we do have someone who has that. Like, they pay a lot more to get that view just because that's such a tiny audience. But if you've got a broader market appeal like you do, Nick, or maybe you're in health or fitness, like, you can absolutely get people consuming that content for under a couple of dollars.
Okay. So about $2, but you don't have any metrics on the percentages. Like, for example, if I Facebook shows me 10,000 views. We know that for them it's 3 seconds. Rough ballpark of how many you think, you know, would reach 25%? Like, how many could I say, like, I'm doing some benchmarks so I would know if I'm doing good? Is it 5%, 10%, 3%, 20%? Like, of the 1,000
viewers? That's a really good question. So views versus, let's say, what people are watching at 25%. That's not actually something I track at all, because I think the views metric of that 3 seconds is just so bad. Like, it's not actually valid to me at all, because of just... you could maybe do 10 seconds and feel it was more relevant. But really what I want to see is, like, how much is it costing me to get someone to watch 25% of that video? Because, like, that's a proper engagement. It's a heavily engaged thing. And if I look at it and go, right, if I can get to that marker for under a couple of dollars, I know that this is going to be something that's worth it for me or my podcast.
Got it. Okay, so let's talk about the actual ad itself, and then I want to come into, like, how you boost it and all of those things. Do you go into all of the mess of, like, creating a square video with a big headline and a bunch of, like, do you do the whole subtitling with the big text? Or, like, when we do it, because we're doing it, posting it live, it's just a standard, you know, rectangular video, no text over it, and then we have some text at the top, right? It's just standard. Never mind. I stand corrected. So when we do it live, we're putting it in square with the text in there. Cool. Never mind. So, yeah. So how would you do it? Do you do square? Do you do, like, regular rectangle? Like, how do you put it into as an ad?
Yeah, we do regular rectangle. Now, there's actually a few things you can go into here, and I'll cover them one by one. For a 60-minute video, it hasn't been worth the ROI on the time spent doing the captions or hard subtitles. So we've avoided that. And we've gone full-length video, click to watch. You just need to make sure your copy is really good around it so that it's actually, like, very curiosity-based. Like, you got to have someone, like, curious to watch this video. Now, what we've also done with the ads, and, like, you're starting to talk into the specifics of the content, if you've got an hour video and there's some shorter segments or some snippets, we call them, pulling out some sections and then maybe having, like, some at around 2 or 3 minutes with subtitles that lead people to the full episode, also a really powerful strategy. So when we come to ad types and using video ads, I like full videos. I still think if you can run a full video and spend a couple of dollars to get someone to watch more than 25%, that's a really good value of money. I'll be happy to spend that. And then on the other side, if I can pull a 2-minute to 3-minute snippet out with captions in a square format, just so we've got the square there, I'd be happy to run one of those as well. But keeping in mind that I want to track full video views on a shorter video that's only a couple of minutes long.
So what's interesting here is, and as I'm looking at this, Stuart, I feel like with our, because of the way we're putting them in as a square, it almost looks like an ad. And so if we could change the branding and really get the podcast logo and things in there, because right now it really feels like an ad. So I would be likely to skip it also, whereas really it's content. So for us, that's pretty cool because we are already putting the written text in there. And so I hear you on that. But just to, you do square, or you said you don't do square, just a regular rectangle video.
Rectangle for full length and then for snippets. So if you were going to make shorter clips as ads, which definitely can work, we do them as well, then I would do square. So for short snippets, we're doing squares. For full videos, we're doing our rectangle format.
And do you think the full video rectangle format, how come you made that decision? You said ROI on not creating the script, but do you find what I said to be kind of relevant too? Like, it feels more like a content piece and not an ad if it's being inserted as a rectangle?
Well, that's absolutely what we feel like. We like to be a little bit different. So if you ever see one of my shows or you see my podcast, The Business of Podcasting, like, it's branded as content and it's designed to look like content. Well, because it is content. Yeah. And then the other component of that is that unfortunately there's a lot of marketers out there that just abuse tactics, like really abuse and do it. And I don't want my show to be associated with that camp. So I'll probably intentionally try to be a little bit different, just so we are sitting in a different way. But of course, this comes down to, like, the other side of it, and we'll talk to it here, is the way I'm making content and who I'm targeting is, like, I want to be very, very relevant. I think relevance and curiosity play a huge role in the performance of ads. Yeah. So I'll give you an example. You just made an episode, which I really liked, by the way, on YouTube and how to build your list from YouTube. And I would look at that. If that was the episode I was promoting, like I would want to really find a very, I wouldn't promote that broadly. I would find, you know, who are the people that are likely to be interested in this? Like who's the marketing crowd essentially that this is a problem they want to solve or they're curious about how to do that. And then I'm using that type of targeting to go after them with the full video and the snippet.
So who would be? Let's use that one as an example. What are some ideas that you would have for... Actually, I want to take one step further back and I want to ask you a quick question. So I do a interview. Right now we're at a one episode a week. We had gotten as high as three. It got to be too much for me, so I pulled back to one a week for now. And I'm enjoying that. And I feel like I'm probably going to add another one in at some point. But... do you feel like we should, from an operational advertising strategy, it could get overwhelming if all of them are running all the time. So is it more of like a, when we release a new episode, we go into the system and say, hey, Facebook, spend $1,000 on this. Here's your targeting, go. And then once it's done and we move on to the next one. Or do you kind of keep them circulating for some time? Like what's the strategy there? Because then I'm going to come back and want to kind of assign a budget to each one, right? Like if I have 10,000, how much of that do I want to spend per episode? And how long should the shelf life of that episode be in the ads sphere of Facebook? That's my first question.
And then, really good question.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I have a belief, and this is something that comes from my advertising days. If you've got something that's working, don't turn it off. Like if you're getting a home run that's building your list, building your audience, like don't touch it. Touching it is like the enemy. Never turn off a working campaign is a theory we have when we really stand by it. Now, of course, that can cause some issues because you might have a new episode out and be like, hey, I want to promote this. So sometimes you have to be flexible in how you're promoting. This is what I would really get you to think about. Now, ideally, every episode we do look like to put a little bit of budget behind it if it's possible. Because you want to see how it performs. You will often find episodes you didn't think were going to connect, amazingly connect and are great performers. And then I've done episodes, I'm like, oh, this is a home run. This is the best episode ever. Donuts. Not interested. No one loves it. And it's like, it's a really fascinating thing as a creator is our view or opinion can be way off because we're just not thinking like our audience is. So it's always good to try and remain unbiased and give a little promotion to every episode. However, undoubtedly, you're going to find some winners or some episodes you've done that have performed really well, or perhaps are with really high profile guests that have done really well. And what I say is it's really good to have in your arsenal some ones you can go back to or some specific challenges you've been able to solve and run them when you feel you need to. So you might say, for example, the YouTube list building one does well. Like it would be such a shame to just promote that once this week when so many people haven't heard it. So if it's been a winner, maybe 3 months from now or 6 months from now, like give it another run, like give it some airtime to a segment where you can go back into building that. Or I know like you're very big on growing learn. So perhaps if there was a YouTube or a list building course, like that'd be a great episode to promote when you were trying to really push the growth of learn. So there's some really good things you can do there to kind of not treat episodes like newspapers. Like don't think, oh, that issue's out, like done. Just bin it. Like that's not an asset anymore. We couldn't use that. When the reality is, if it's really good content, as long as the relevance is to the problem you're trying to solve for the audience, it can be great to re-promote.
And so the metric that we are really tracking to determine how great something is cost per 25% view, basically, right? Like keeping that at $2 or below. What's the landing page here? Am I creating a landing page? Do I have a link in the descriptor at the top or am I leaving no link? Because, you know, Facebook loves it when you don't put a link. They reward you with ridiculously low cost advertising. So that was one of my questions too. Am I driving the traffic somewhere?
Yeah, but that's a really interesting point. So I'll just cover this quickly. All the social networks are really good at keeping people on the social networks. That's their objective. Yeah. And the more you play into that, the better you can do. But the challenge as a business is, well, hang on, I want to get this traffic onto an email list or to a page. Like, how do I play this? So this is how I kind of think about it or I'm experimenting with. Now, what I would say and what I love about what you do in your show is that you actually, in your intro, do promote URLs. Or what I've seen on your YouTube videos, you actually put the URL on the screen. Yeah. So you can actually like seed a URL or send people to an easy URL with the content itself. So if you are going to promote your video natively, which means no links, you've got to be having something within the actual content that moves people to that next step. And we've got a show now, and we never put links in anything. And we're promoting at about $1,000 a month. This is a smaller show, but he'll easily be growing his email list every week from just using that intro. And he's getting like 10, 20 emails a week just from doing that. And like, that's at a small scale one. At a bigger scale where you've got more budget, that's the A/B test to run. Like, that is absolutely something to look at, of going, okay, we put a link in this one versus not a link, and then seeing how it works from taking people to there. Now, the other side of that is, if you're running ads natively, you're still building up those remarketing audiences from video views. So it's actually the remarketing ads that we use a lot to push links and traffic to pages.
Okay, got it. And would I take it straight to that, again, the same type of page, the top three, top five episode page with a little opt-in at the top of it? Or is it the same page that you would take it to?
Yeah, really good question. So I'll go with that one again. A couple of my favorite things is, I really like podcasts. You've got to have some evergreen resources. You've got to have some stuff you can continually promote that is worth getting on your list for. One I really dislike, and when I say this, like, no one wants to download your transcript. It's a really poor quality, no value add, in my opinion. I know some people will disagree with that, but it's like, I'm not, if I'm listening to a podcast, I am not stopping a podcast for a transcript.
Yeah.
So there's a few ways to go about this. And like, again, one of the ones you did that I loved was that you had a summit or a training that went with the list building on YouTube. So that was very well promoted. Like, that's a specific one. You can do that if you've got something coming up, but it's really hard to do that for every episode. It's really difficult. So what I would say is, like, what are the more evergreen things you can go to? So I like books, which I know you've got a couple of. I like free courses, but my two favorites would definitely be, like, I like frameworks and opt-ins, and I like case studies. They're my two favorites for, like, evergreen resources. So my recommendation, you want to have a page on your website that says free resources or resources, and you want to have some goodies on there that you can continually promote that are always going to be there for your audience to capture.
Got it. Yeah, for us, I mean, we have learn.com, right? So I'm always promoting Learn, which is a free resource. It's got like over 100 plus courses in there now. And then, of course, for my podcast, I always just say onicpodcast.com, which we can continue. And what we'll do now is, when we edit the video that uploads to Facebook, we'll just make sure multiple call to actions kind of show up throughout the podcast. Awesome. So when going back to what we were talking about as far as the targeting, one of the thought process I had, and I wanted to run it by you, was, so we have really large, warm audiences on Facebook and even on YouTube, because we've run God knows how many millions of dollars of advertising. We've uploaded all of our lists. We have all the engagement audiences, and these are good audiences. So whenever we run brand new campaigns or launches, we run to these guys first, and it's amazing. The downside is, I feel bad because I feel like those audiences only see my ads. And I really want to get to a place where I'm also serving them a lot of content, just to kind of mix and match the things so that they don't always see my face in relation to an ask, but sometimes they see my content. When you were kind of going towards audience selection and you said, hey, you know, with this YouTube one, I would think about going this way, my original idea and what I was going to tell my team was to secure about a couple hundred bucks a day or whatever and run my podcast episodes on Facebook only to my warm audiences and do a boost by per view. You still there? Okay, perfect. Sorry, you froze on my TV.
We're back now.
Real good. Okay. So what I was saying is, what I was originally thinking is, I would tell my team, like, here's a couple hundred dollars a day. I want you to run our content, our podcast episodes, just to the warm audiences. And just so you know, like, our warm audiences are 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, million. Like, they're big. They're, you know, especially if you go international, they're huge audiences. So I felt like $10,000 a month would just eat that up, because rather than growing my audience, I was like, I got all these people that already know me who I'm knocking over the head every day with ads. It would be good to show them my content so that they start to see good content. And I mean, they're definitely not all listening to my podcast, and they're probably more likely to listen to my podcast because they know me in some way. So do you think that from a targeting perspective that you would agree, like, that should be the audience I go after first before I start going wider?
That's a really good question. And you are in a unique position. So I'll mention how I think about it here. So let's say you're going to promote an episode. It's coming out tomorrow, right? You've got this opportunity here where you've got cold audiences or targeted audiences that, for instance, are based on what the episode is about. And then you've also got people that you've already built some trust with. Now, as a business, you've really got to decide, well, is the goal to reach people we haven't reached before, or is it to build deeper engagement with those that have already shown some interest? In your case, I would absolutely be portioning towards people that have already heard of you, because you're in so many different places. So if they're on that email list, or they've visited your website, or they've engaged with a previous episode of the podcast on Facebook, like that's a really hyper-targeted to release a new episode, publish it on Facebook, run that as an ad. Now, what I love about that is you're building like depth of relationship. And I think depth of a relationship is ultimately what people buy from these days. It's not watching one episode. It's like, how do we get people to watch 10 episodes? And at that point, they're much more likely to buy. So that's how I would be thinking about it. But eventually, and like for a lot of businesses, this is really common, is like they basically just like wear their remarketing audiences out. They've got 1,000 people or 10,000 people on this list, and like they hammer them, and they're never getting an exposure to a new audience. So if you're doing that, you can actually measure this in frequency, by the way, in Facebook ads themselves. If your frequency is through the roof, say over 10, then when you're looking at this and going, right, we need to reach new people and we need to reach different people. And then if your frequency is low enough, I dare say yours will be low enough, then it's about deepening the relationships with them. And as you know, someone used to say to me, it's not how many people that are on your email list. It's like how many people are actually opening your emails, how many are engaging with you. And that makes a huge difference to the results you get.
That's pretty, it's pretty interesting because the idea that I'm getting right now is I would take, you know, if I have a $10,000 budget, it's like they take 60% of it to serve my existing audiences to keep them warm and get them over to the podcast. Because a lot of them are not on the podcast. It's very clear when you look at the podcast numbers and you look at how big the audience I have is. But then take like 30 or 40% of it and actually use it to span outwards and bring new people into my hemisphere. And I love the idea of continuing to build an audience of 25% or more watchers, because you just know that they're more intent, they're more engaged, and then being able to build a lookalike of that would just be insane. So let's talk about cold targeting using a podcast episode like this. You picked on the YouTube one, so let's pick on that one. What kind of keywords would you go after on Facebook for expanding that podcast episode?
All right, I want to use a really obvious example, and then I want to go into this one because there's kind of two camps. So I noticed you had Robert Kiyosaki on, and I also noticed you've got a course with Robert Kiyosaki, which is awesome. Big fan. Yeah. So the great thing about Robert is he's got such a big audience already on Facebook. Like you can actually target Rich Dad Poor Dad. So in any opportunity where you can target the guest specifically, or really close to the guest, like that is the target. It will do really well. So if I was going to promote that episode, I would be targeting Robert Kiyosaki, any of the book titles. Like I'll go hard on that camp because you're going to get a great exposure of people that are very interested in Robert. So it makes a great example from there. So hyper-targeted ones are my fans. When you move into the other category, which is like, we're going to say it's list building here, that's a touch different because there's not necessarily, and I'm not sure if Justin has his own targeting on Facebook. He might not be at that level. So like, how do you play that? So this is where I start to go, okay, we want to be a little bit more broadly of people that would be interested in this market. Now, the first one that comes to mind is digital marketer. I think that's a really good target for that episode. The second one that comes to mind that I think is there is probably ClickFunnels or Russell Brunson. I think that's a very targeted one for there. I would probably start to those two. And then number three, see, this one's a bit broader. I would test this as an audience, but I would want to see it isolated, would potentially be like Gary Vee. I think he's got a really broad scope of people as well of entrepreneurs, a lot of who are doing digital things. So appreciate this being. They would be my three I would start with on cold for that. And then after a couple of days, I'd probably turn one off that isn't performing as well.
No, cool. It makes a lot of sense. Now, in your video, you had revealed this. So I wanted to make sure I asked this question so everyone can hear this is different. You do not boost these by conversion. You don't use optimization conversion. In the video, this is a few months ago, you had told me video views. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I've played with this a lot. It's really interesting. Like Facebook is a phenomenal tool. It really is, but it can do this thing called throttling or choking, we call it. So if you were to, let's say, do a campaign based on conversions, but your campaign isn't getting many conversions, then it actually really restricts who it's going to show the ads to. And it can often, like, you'll see your budget, you might have a budget of $100 a day, and then you'll just see it like, oh, I only spent 50, 40. Like, what's going on here? Like, why are we not able to spend our budget? And then the other side of that is that if you've got a really small batch of conversion numbers, is that it might not actually be that good or high quality conversion numbers, and it'll optimize poorly. I mean, I have seen that many times. But if you've got a really, really massive amount of conversions, like you'd want to be getting heaps, over like 100 plus a day, then it could be really good. The other side of that, though, is that we tested just broadly video views. Like if I optimize this for video views, how would this do? And like that's been the outstanding or outlier. It's performed universally. So across small campaigns and big campaigns, I'm happy to start with optimizing for video views. And of course, we still track conversions. It's just we optimize and push for video views.
Got it. And you're doing a by 10 second? Optimizing by 10 second
yes.
video view?
So yeah, that's the one. As I've mentioned, it's not a good metric to track the results of the campaign, but it is definitely for optimization one to lean towards.
No, that's awesome. And I thought that was one of the biggest takeaways I had from the video that you sent me. So for everyone listening, it was really cool to see a strategy to deploy to syndicate content. And I can tell you right now, whenever you boost something, so let's think about this strategy, right? Initially, of course, I want the outreach of my podcast. I want the word getting out. But one of the biggest reasons that I came up with this strategy was because I want to better serve and I want to better represent myself to my warm audiences. And so we have this massive list of warm audiences and they're getting hit with ads. I mean, typically the only way they would see content from me is if Facebook chooses to syndicate my content to them. And on Facebook, I have 1 million+ likes, but every time I post something, even if it does very well, my best organic reach is like 15,000, 16,000. It's sad. There's like so many people that are not seeing that, but they are seeing my ads, right? Because Facebook's a pay-to-play network. So my first goal wasn't necessarily even to grow my podcast, but it was to serve this audience and show them something other than my face promoting something. And that was when I said, well, video views, Charlie's right, is perfect because I'm not looking for a conversion. I'm looking for syndication. And if that means Facebook will charge me like literally 80% less in CPMs because I choose optimization video views versus conversion, then I would rather get far more video views because that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for more eyeballs to see me doing something good that's content that's actually not asking for a click. But what's just human nature, and I've actually seen, Charlie, this is funny because I've actually seen me do this with particular podcasts or with other people. Like I'll end up seeing, I won't watch the whole YouTube video or whole Facebook video, but I'll see it and I'll like it and I will go to Google and type it in. I will totally go to Google, type it in to find the website. Now, if I pair that up with bidding on my keyword, the fighting entrepreneur, which I doubt anyone else is bidding on, and my name and everything. So there you go. Perfect strategy. Like, the more people are seeing this, you know, you're going to get the ones who are the most like really impressed, really want to see more. They're going to go. And over time, that'll just start to accumulate. So for me, it became a 2 birds, 1 stone. Serve my warm audiences better while continuing to get my podcast out more. And so far, I mean, this is awesome. I've loved it. And I love the video views boosting strategy. Anything else there on the Facebook side? We've spent quite a bit of time on this, but I really think this is near damn brilliant. So I wanted to spend as much time as possible. Anything else that we should talk about there, or should we move on to some other stuff?
Look, we've covered a lot here. The thing I'd say that I just want to lean into, what I love a lot about the strategies we're talking about here is they can fill gaps. So you can really see that if you've got a podcast, you can use it to attract new people. But if you're already really good at that, you can use it to help convert them. Or you can use it to bring them down the funnel, and like the versatility on like where you allocate your resources here can have really different impacts. So I'll just say absolutely spot on. And I love that, yes, people will Google you and using that to your advantage.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. All right, so that wraps up. You know, we talked about Google search. We talked about very much so in depth the Facebook ad strategy. And so everyone, if you definitely should listen to this again. Anything else? We can do more paid. We can go into organic. Like, give me some more growth hacking techniques that it can use to really skyrocket a podcast. And since I was so selfish for the
first, I got some goodies.
50 minutes, I will say now you can give tips that everyone could use. I know that the tip we talked about here, not everyone can use it. It's not the best for a brand new podcast. It does need a budget. But Charlie, take it away, man. The floor is yours. Let's keep growth hacking.
Okay, so I'll give you a couple here. So I'm going to give you one worth paying attention to, Spotify. Spotify is on a mission to become the Facebook ads of audio. I think there's phenomenal opportunities coming further and even exist for today. So I think that their platform, it's a bit in its infancy stage, but it's also good from its early adopters are getting massive reach. So it's a bit of a Wild West scenario, but I would very much be paying attention to that. What I love about what they're doing is you're able to target based on like genres or topics that people are listening to music on as well. So it's like there's certain podcasts and there's certain types of shows that are gonna, that are just really good. So I'm going to say like that's going to be the one to watch in the next 12 months. I think that adopters of that will do well. So that's one of my favorite ones at the moment. The next one I'll go into from a bit of a strategy. This is a unique one that I've done that, again, I like to be different. I like to do different things differently. And that's actually sponsoring other podcasts. And the reason I say that is that if someone's already listening to a podcast, getting them to listen to a new podcast, it's only a little jump. You know, if you've got Netflix and you're already watching a show, to watch a new show is easy. But if you've got to convince someone who's never watched Netflix to sign up to the subscription, do all this stuff, it's just such a bigger jump. So I've really, really liked the idea of like sponsoring other shows as a paid strategy to growth hack a podcast. And I want to just add a little caveat here. If you're going to sponsor a show, you don't want to be like just an annoying commercial that is at the start of their show. This podcast is brought to you by Charlie. Go listen and buy stuff. Like that doesn't work. It's a terrible, strange thing. What I would actually recommend more of is that if you're going to sponsor a show, you actually want to bring something in where you get to be a guest on that show and talk about your show and explain to people why you're worth listening to. And it's about being native on their podcast. So appearing not as an ad, but appearing as a guest on an episode. So for me personally, if I was going to sponsor a show, like I want to be on that show once a quarter. That's how I want to do it. So every quarter, I'm getting a good exposure to that audience and a chance to articulate my points of view, what's important to me, why someone should listen to this show.
Love it. You know, let's talk about that. I had a bad experience once, and maybe it was just my way of thinking. I'm not going to mention names, but there was a podcast that's very well reputed, and you know, it's been around forever, and they charged thousands of dollars to have an episode on it. And so I paid and I'd crossed the math. I mean, they have their data on how many downloads they get. And it's like, you know, tens of thousands of downloads. So I like did the math and I was like, oh, my God, there's just like no way I will lose money on this this offer. Like, it's just impossible. I should pick up probably about 3,000-4,000 opt-ins from this, if not, you know, less. It'll be like $1.50 an opt-in. Like, oh yeah. Well, at the time the whole thing was done, I had like 245 opt-ins. So like completely shocked. I thought, man, I paid like $20-$30 an opt-in. This is nuts. And made me really feel like guest appearing on podcasts may not be the best way. I haven't made guest appearance on podcast a big part of my strategy. And I'll tell, and it kind of makes sense why, right? Because I don't consider myself necessarily a podcaster. I do listen to some podcasts here and there, but I love doing this podcast, as I very openly talk about, because of the personal benefit of knowledge and education it brings me. And so I guess in my head, I have a paradigm of like, I guess I've never, let me put it this way. I'm not sure if I've ever listened to a podcast and then gone on to listen to another podcast because there was a guest on. I may have, but I don't think so. So have you found that to work really well for your clients? Like to put them on, I call it the virtual roadshow. Like, you know, I'm actually going to test this. So by the way, everyone, I'm getting ready to test it. I'm going to put myself to the test in April. I'm going to do something really cool. I'm going to put YouTube versus podcasting and we're going to actually test it. I'm going to do a little contest between the two. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I've been planning it. Actually, I'm going to give a shout out to Eric. I think forgetting his last name, Eric Lofholm. I totally butchered that. I'll get it right and I will give him a shout out because he's doing a challenge for himself in 2020. I'm going to do a challenge for myself in April. But yeah, so talk to me about that. Should I start banking that? Like, should I do like two or three? Because I get asked all the time, but should I do like two or three guest appearances a week? Like just double down on it?
Yeah, well, in essence, it does work. Like I kind of look at that comment and say, you know, I had a bad meal once and never ate again. The idea being that I'm pretty certain I could even probably name this show because I've heard this story multiple times on some shows that are charging quite a bit and it hasn't gone well. So I'll explain that there. If I saw a show that like their whole strategy is you pay to be on their show, I can pretty much guarantee that the result won't be good because they're just absolutely like not respecting their audience. Like that is not how you do it. And I think that it comes through in the content because when you're a pay-to-play podcast, you're effectively not filtering who's going to be the one that's on the show. So it's a bit of a red flag because I don't necessarily feel that person's, how can I put this? I don't feel like things are lined up ethically there because like he gets paid by the people that come on the show. Like, does he really care about the people that listen to the show? Or does he care about getting paid? So I can understand why that audience is pretty tuned out. The other thing is too, for well-established shows like that have been around a really long time, their download numbers are actually like a fallacy. It's just a whole bunch of people that haven't unsubscribed on the podcast app. They don't actually listen still. They're like it's just kind of ticking over. So when I look at like, if I'm going to sponsor a show, a couple of things I would say is like, you can't just look at downloads. Like you've got to be looking at like email list. Really, that's an important one to go through. And then you've also got to be looking at like actual engagements on social, not fallacy stuff, because downloads is so easy to cheat that it really concerns me. So that would be just some like little markers you can put in. And then, so just to recap on that, one, making sure it's not a pay-to-play show. Like you want to be on a show that offers really good value to an audience. Two is checking through the actual numbers, past downloads and subscribers, and let's say Libsyn or whatever they're using as hosting, getting real about traffic and engagements. And I think you'll have a dramatically better experience with it. And then three is absolutely this works. Like I have a number of people where they're like one of our clients, his whole strategy for show growth is just going on other podcasts. And it works for him. He loves doing it. And he has a lot of fun. And then it's actually been people that have bought from him. So it's like tracking all the way down to sale. Well,
wow. It's awesome, man. Well, we're coming up to an hour. It's been a powerful power. I'll put it this way. I'm done. My brain farted out because I got a lot to do. So I'm going to go put a lot of what we talked about in action. The biggest one being Facebook. So, and I do plan on reporting back to you here in a couple months, because it might take us a few weeks to get it up and running. But after that, I want to report back to you how it's going. Spotify ads, I've heard about that. You're not the only person. I've heard about it by a few people, and then sponsoring a show as a guest appearance. That's really cool. And for those of you who have an opportunities to be guests on other people's shows, like I am pretty fortunate in the sense of I don't have to pay. I can pretty much get on the top shows by asking. And many times I get asked. So that's great. I've been ignoring it. Maybe I'll do more of it. Anything else that you feel like we just absolutely could not end today's episode without bringing out to everybody?
I'll give one last one, but I just feel like this is a unique, I'll give you an up and come up. Like basically one of the ones I've seen been working really uniquely at the moment is actually Pinterest. And I know this might sound odd for podcasting and Pinterest hasn't come together well, but I've come across quite a few people where Pinterest has been a really good opportunity. So if you're in a niche with your podcast where Pinterest would be a place that your audience hangs out. So generally females over 25, is where that is kind of heading towards, then that is a place you definitely want to be paying attention to. So for every episode, doing a pin and a link back and creating those boards, because if you do end up on there or in one of those share boards, like there's a good amount of traffic there, a really good amount of traffic, and not many people are playing there.
Wow. That's awesome. Love it. Charlie, it has been so powerful. Where can people get a hold of you? I know they're going to want to pick your brain. They're going to want to buy your stuff. They're going to throw money at you. So where can our fighting entrepreneurs go to learn more about you and engage with you?
Thank you so much. And it's been my pleasure to be here. I've really enjoyed it. And just talking about these things, as you can see, I'm like addicted to it. Podcasting is my thing. Like I'm really into
I can't
it.
Even tell it's 6 a.m. your time. You are pumped and you're very knowledgeable. And this has been one of my favorite episodes that I have filmed in over 160 episodes because there is something super tangible that I could take away. And I got to tell you, you are the only person, as far as I can say, in the world of podcasting. And that goes a long way. Like you are the only person that seems to have nailed down paid promotions to grow a podcast. And so I hope that you will continue to take this message out to the world and teach and get more people. And we got to get you in the podcast magazine. We got to get you connected to the guys over at Podcast Magazine. But yeah, thank you so much for doing this absolutely amazing, amazing episode. Where can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, so I have a podcast called The Business of Podcasting. So this is where I talk about this stuff. So if you ever want to look more deeply into some of these strategies, I do record with some of the biggest and best podcasters and talk about how they're growing their show. It's really what we focus on. I also have Valor Media. This is my, we call it a media company that focuses on podcasts. So we work with clients, help them build shows, help them create shows. That will be the other one from there. And of course, if you search my name on any of the social networks, you'll find me with these.
And how do you spell Valor Media, just so everyone has it?
Yeah, so it's V-A-L-H-E-R is Vela. That's my last name. So I'm Charlie Vela. And the company and the website is velamedia.com.
Brilliant. I highly recommend, and you can bet your butt that I will be picking more of Charlie's brains and getting his help and hiring his services as well. Charlie, thank you. It has been an honor and a pleasure. Thank you for giving us your early morning here and sharing so, so kindly and so open-heartedly and transparently with our audience. So there you go, Fighting Entrepreneurs. How amazing was that? Please make sure you go and support Charlie, engage with him and follow him and get on his list and learn all the good stuff from him. It's one of the few newsletters I actually read when it comes out. So make sure you get on that. It's been an absolutely amazing episode. Thank you for being here. Go to Anik Podcast, ANIKpodcast.com. Make sure you leave us a great review and binge on all of our other episodes with our great guests. Make sure you also go to LURN.com. Join the platform. Join the revolution. Let's all work together as entrepreneurs and help bring change in this world. And until next time, you know, as I always say, when life pushes you, stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back. Come on, fighting entrepreneurs. Go out there and fight for your dreams. I'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Anik Singhal.